All right, let's open our Bibles tonight back in Revelation chapter 20. And last week, as we entered into chapter 20, we entered into the millennium. And praise God, just moving right along. And I pray that it's not just this study that's moving right along. It's these events. It's moving right along. We're about ready to step into this. And thanking God, and as I mentioned earlier, you know, we're on the threshold of the tribulation. We're on the threshold of that one that's going to, again, be enabled, and that one that will be empowered by Satan himself, known as the Antichrist, that the world is going to wander after. And you can see the world looking more and more to a man. They're always looking to a new one, a new figure, a new something that's going to make the difference. And even though when they know that God is God, they don't want to give him glory, and they are not thankful. And we are in a day and an age of the least a bit of thanks and the least amount of glory that I've ever seen society pretty much give God. But again, when we see these things begin to come to pass, don't complain, don't murmur, don't fuss, don't try to change it. Look up. The delivering is about ready to happen. And be delivered in heart now by the word of God. And then you and I just might be one of the first ones out of here when that trump blast sounds. So we praise God for this. But this millennium time that's going to come is right after the seven-year tribulation. So after the 7 years, this thousand-year period of time that follows the tribulation, when God will hand the throne over to his son Jesus. And as we get into this tonight, know this very well. We know that Jesus Christ tonight is seated at the right hand of the Father. When he ascended up on high, he took the place at the right hand of the Father. He is our advocate. He's our great high priest. He brings our petitions to the Father. And we're thankful for that relationship. It's very needful. And thanks to God that we have this time and we're in this age, because this is the church age that we're in right now. This is this age of this great, great grace. The grace that if it'll be apprehended in its fullness, that life will grow up into all truth. All of Jesus. Isn't that something? You know, you think of all truth. Well, that's all of Jesus. You'll grow up into that life, Christ in you, the hope of glory life, that it becomes that fully mature son. Praise God. That wonderful, pleasing vessel. And it's the word of his grace that does it. It's not events and activities and efforts and all of these different things. It's the word of his grace that causes all of those things. It's what's happening right now as we receive this word. We're growing up. Thank you, God. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Didn't say he that hath an ear, let him do. He didn't say he that hath an ear, go let him build, you know, or go get a, you know, go do something. See, that's the whole thing. And that's man's reaction is, I want to go do. And God says, be still and hear. You hear the word of God, and that word works effectually and powerfully, praise God, in them that believe. But how wonderful and amazing that we began to see last week that all saints, and I really have appreciated this like none other time, and I'm going to praise him for it till he come. All saints in some capacity, some in a jointly together capacity, ruling and reigning with him, but there'll be all the saints will be reigning in some capacity, praise God, on this earth. And I thank the Lord for his faithfulness. Let me tell you something, he loves his sons, and he loves the family, praise God. And we're so thankful. And as we read on Sunday, he did it for his sake. Let that hit you. And never stop, praise his name. All right. But as mentioned here, this wonderful mercy and grace that we're in the church age. But this thousand-year time will be the kingdom age. That's when we will enter the kingdom age. That's when we will enter the time of the great revival. It's interesting that most Christians today are trying to live the kingdom age and trying to live the great revival. when that is not appointed for this time. Sure, we're to preach when God gives us opportunity to preach the word of God. And sure, he that winneth souls is wise. We know these things. But that time when the word of God will be preached to every nation in that intensity of what is going to be spoken of here in a minute when we get over to Matthew 28, that is the time of the kingdom age. And it's so sad because most Christians I meet are caught up in truly the unbelief that right now is the kingdom age. Right now is the time of the great revival. And they're missing the time of the readying of the bride. Praise God. Missing that time of the rib company. But see, that, again, it is. It's asleep. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to get ones if. Will take the word and make you confused with it or something of that nature when you do not want to hear the word of God rightfully divided. Or it will be something that's confusing to your heart. It'll be something that becomes confusing to you. But I know that even if we be otherwise minded, he'll make that known to us. But we need to have a sincerity to hear the word of God. Go on over to Matthew 28. This is the time that I'm speaking of here in this thousand-year period of time known as the millennium. And this is when Jesus was saying the last things to his disciples before he ascended. And this is when it's spoken of, and your Bible might even have this in the 28th chapter, 18th verse. You might have a little subtitle say, the Great Commission. Well, this Great Commission, let me tell you something, is at this time of the millennium. And it says in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All right? So at this time when he is speaking of, and he's speaking that all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, he is speaking of a future time. This is not, he's speaking of an event. This is a prophecy that's being spoken of. And how and why do we know that completely? Well, if you go, keep your finger there in Matthew 28, because we're going to go back there. But in Hebrews chapter 2, we've been going here quite a bit, but hopefully all these line up on line and line up on line and precept upon precept and precept upon precept, this just begins to establish this in our hearts so that by the grace of God we know the scriptures, hallelujah. And then in Hebrews 2:8, this is speaking of, again, our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. See, that's what's been so triumphant the last couple Wednesday nights, is because as we move into that latter part of the tribulation into the millennium, we see all authority is handed to him. Everything's being given over to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming, hallelujah, with that judgment. Praise God. And so when he is speaking back here in Matthew 28 to his disciples, we know he is speaking of that time of the millennium when all power is given unto him on heaven and in earth. And then it says in verse 19 of chapter 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now think of who he's speaking here again to. He's speaking here to his disciples. And think again, who will be the ones that will be ministering out the word of God during the millennium? It's Israel. Praise God. So this again is in that type and shadow that the ones that will be those, the great missionaries, if you will, of that time of the millennium, it's going to be so wonderful. It'll be the Jew, for the most part. It will be that wonderful nation, praise God, that'll be reigning and preaching and telling of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Because isn't it such a passion of our hearts to, again, we pray for Israel because we're praying for this time. See, when the Word of God says to pray for Israel, yeah, I pray for Israel in a sense, and I pray for anyone in any life that they would come to know Jesus. But when you're specifically praying for Israel, you're praying for this time. You're praying for the coming of the Lord. You're praying, praise God, that this wonderful, the nation born in a day, this nation come forth, and the, again, Israel will be reigning upon this earth. And it's just so wonderful to think that we can pray that way. But you'll notice there, that in the verse 19, it says that's the time when they'll go forth and they'll teach every nation. That'll be the time, too, that they'll pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And that's when they will baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because we know at this time, we baptize and we pray in one name, and that's the name of Jesus. And that will be a difference at that time, because it will be fulfilled completely in that fulfillment of the knowledge of Jesus. That's all that will be preached, praise God. And in that Godhead fullness, that will come forth in that time of the millennium. So, once again, I pray that as we see this and we continue to read the Word of God, this becomes something that's just a cookie on a shelf to us, that this millennial time and the prophecies that, again, were even spoken of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we see that these things that he's speaking of here in the millennium, he was speaking of a future time. But now, let's get on back to Revelation chapter 20. And tonight, we're going to begin in verse 7. And so quickly, as we started this millennial time, we're speeding through and it's over. I think it's marvelous, because you think of all the time of the tribulation that we've spent all the way through Revelation. We get to the millennial time, and, you know, in a lot of ways, it's a beautiful, wonderful time, but there's really not a lot of events happening except Jesus is known. Jesus is preached. Praise God. It'll be a wonderful time of peace and a wonderful time of truth. Praise God. And in that, that's just what it is. Praise God. So here we're moving right through this thousand-year period of time, the millennium, and basically it's going to be wrapped up in just a moment. So let's start reading from verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired... Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. If you recall last week, we saw that Satan at the end of the tribulation time was bound by Jesus himself, thank the Lord. And he was thrown into the bottomless pit. We know that bottomless pit is hell itself. And we know that it was the Lord that opened that pit, and it was the Lord that shut him in that pit. And he's going to be in that pit for 1,000 years. Once again, remember, too, at the end of that tribulation time, there were two people that were cast into the lake of fire. Those are the first two entrants into the lake of fire, and that was the Antichrist and the false prophet. So those are the only two that have been put into the lake of fire. All those other lives that have died that did not accept Christ Jesus as Savior are in that pit. They're in hell. And this is where we'll be speaking of this a little bit more tonight. But so quickly, again, this 1,000-year period ends, and Satan is loosed. Satan is loosed from that pit. Just more of God's perfect plan of grace, the fulfillment of his word. Some people like to get into, you know what, the Bible tells us, abstain from foolish questions. You know, sometimes you start to think something too through. Let me tell you something, your mind is nonsense. And, you know, we can have spiritual thinking, and I thank God for that. And there'll be some times he'll give me some spiritual thoughts. But I'm grateful to God. But that will be of the Word of God, don't get me wrong. But I'll tell you what, unless the Word tells you something, don't, you know, and gives you that, don't go on to trying to make pieces fit and different things of that nature. And oftentimes, and I really will say this, just believe and rejoice. God said it, and it's so. And as I've been giving you that little phrase, that's that. Amen? So he said it. I understand in what I can comprehend of the Word of God and by the Spirit that there's a precious time, that there'll be a cleansing again of this world. Matter of fact, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. We talk about a cleansing. It won't just be a cleansing. It'll be brand new. And we thank God for this. But this is what it is, and let's just believe the Word. So here, as we move into verse 8, Satan's right back to the only thing Satan can do. So let's read what Satan can do. And Satan shall go out to deceive the nations, which are at the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So we really have another rerun, don't we? It's just what Satan always does. What does he do? Deceives. That's all he is. He's a liar. He's the father of all lies. That's what he does. He's the confusion. And he's all he can do. Remember this. The only thing Satan can do is just like a dog, return to his own vomit. And he's just going to do that again and again and again. And he tries to do that with our lives as well too. But those that don't believe will always be deceived. Did you know that? See, when I'll tell you what, when we don't believe the word of God, we're going to be deceived. Even a child of God, can you imagine, can be deceived only when we don't believe the word of God. When we hear his voice, which we hear, and we're listening to the word of God, let me tell you something, there won't be any double-mindedness, there'll be no confusion, it'll be, that's that, thank you, Lord. And we're just praising God and moving on. But those that do not believe will always be deceived. And at this time, we read that precious vision at the end of the 1,000 years. There will be sheep nations and there will be goat nations. And the sheep nations are the believing nations. And the goats are kind of like the sheep, but they're not sheep. And the goats had a feigned obedience. They might have, they were moral, they were good. You never meant kind of moral good and all that. But, you know, I thank the Lord. Well, here we go. See, like this right here, it looks all good. It's all green and it looks like it is, but that's fake. Sorry to tell you that, but it is. But it looks good, doesn't it? See? And it would be sitting up here with the real stuff, and you'd look at both of them and say, wow, you know, look at that. That's dead. And things can go along, and things can seem moral and right and all of these different things. But it was a feigned obedience. There was no love. And they're going to be separated out. And these ones that are as the sand of the sea, and I'll tell you what, that's quite a few. They're going to be deceived. And they're going to go along very in a short amount of time. Think of how quick Satan can deceive you. Isn't that something? Oh, yes, he can. Get on us just like that. And he's going to do it again in a very short amount of time. He's going to deceive the world. And the world's going to rise up again. And we got another rerun. Oh, well, we're going to get him this time. It's like, the stupidity never ends. And but that's just the evilness of what's going on there. But know this, that's what will go on. But remember this, no one, and even in ourselves, we cannot stand against the devil. The only way we stand against the devil is in the word, because he cannot stand against the word, thank the Lord. But what is so sad is once again, he amasses these ones, these lives in such a short amount of time. And again, what do? They rise up against the truth. Think about what's going on in our society today. What's going on in our own country? Why is it really the problems that we have? It's because we're rising up against the truth. We're rising up against the ways and the word of God. And it's so sad. And that is that's the issue that we have. Everything that stems from that again, all of this sin and all of these things that are going forth and all of the turmoil, that all comes from bucking up against the truth, refusing the word of God. And we see that there's such a great price to pay when those things go on in lives. But know this, they're going to be destroyed. And this time when they rise up, it's going to be even a shorter span of time that they're destroyed. It's something. And Gog and Magog, know this, that was the descendants of Noah. Speaks of them in Ezekiel. They were known as the northern barbarians. They were the skilled warriors whose whole life revolved around trying to destroy Israel. They never change. They just want to destroy anything of God. And that's why they go out. And these same types, and matter of fact, the name Gog and Magog means to cover, overwhelm, to surpass. It's exactly what the devil wanted to do. He wanted to raise himself above God. He wanted to be gloried above God. Well, this is that same bit and that same evilness that's in this type of Gog and Magog, and they're going to try to rise up, but we're thankful to God that's not going to happen, because we have verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, that's Jerusalem, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So you think about this again. See, they hated him, they'll hate you. What did they go try to surround? What did they want to, again, completely snuff out? The word of God. And you can see it happening today, can you not? I mean, just think of that. It's, you know, they're doing that over there in the Middle East. When you think about all of these different Christians, they just did a new report on it. The most persecuted group of people in the whole world, by far and away, are Christians. More killed than any other group. More homeless, displaced than any other group. And it is the truth. And it's so sad. But God, again, he is causing that wealth to be increased in these lives as they look to him and trust him. But what I'm saying the sadness truly is it's not the suffering. To suffer with him, there's a joy in the sufferings. We know that as Christians. But it's so sad to think that ones would be so deceived that they're attacking the only good thing. That they're against the love. They're against peace. They're against truth. And it's just, again, this evilness is, it gets tiresome. But it's going to end, and we're going to read about that end here tonight. But they hate Jerusalem, just like they hate it today. They hate them Jews, and they don't want them, do they? And they put on the missiles to destroy them all and all these different things. People better wake up. That's a beloved city, and it's beloved to God. And these evil ones, they think they got it this time. But I love how short verse 9 is. God sends fire out of heaven, devoured them. They were gathered for a battle, but let's be honest, that battle didn't even start. It was over. And not a shot fired, just a fire from heaven. And I thought about fire from heaven. Fire from heaven can either fill you with love and power divine, or fire from heaven will kill you. I love it. I think it's just awesome, you know. Again, it's just what vessel's going to receive that, because when it's a child of the king, oh, what power and strength and love and joy and peace. But I'll tell you what, it isn't a child of God, it's going to be death. And we thank God that he loves us like that. So here we have the end of the devil. And not only the end of the devil, with that, we have the end of all evil. Sin completely gone forever. Thank you, Jesus. What a day that'll be. And here it is in verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. Remember how we said that those two lives were cast into that lake of fire at the end of the tribulation. So now we're at the end of the 1,000-year period of time. And who's the first one to meet him? It's going to be the devil. And where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. I rejoice in that time. You know, the Lord, by the grace of God, when we, when a child of God, again, passes away on this earth, or by the grace of God, let's believe that the Lord, again, has his way with us, and we're in that first trump rapture, we're delivered from the presence of sin. Just gone. We're up face to face with him. But until this time, there'll still be sin that will exist. There'll still be a devil until this time. But at this time, it's gone. Think of that. And not just gone in a sense that it's gone. It will never be remembered again. I mean, that gone. Just like sin gone. You know, when you tell the Lord how you so sad you failed and you were wrong in what you did, and he loves you and holds you. And I always hear him say, well, I don't know what you're talking about, but I love you for telling me that you love me, you know. And that's how he not only forgives, but he forgets. Amen. And I pray you know him like that. He loves me and he loves you like that. Thank you, Jesus. But I think about that joy. But I also have to tell you, I am grieved for people that don't believe in Jesus. You think about all unbelieving, all the unbelievers, from the first one, I believe Cain, to the very last, their judgment and entry that we're going to read of here in just a minute, into the lake of fire. You know, people think hell is bad. Hell hasn't seen anything like the lake of fire. And what a horrible thing to think of, that all of those unbelieving will enter into that place. And we'll just go ahead and read verse 11 here. And it says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whom whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. We'll just go ahead and read all the way through. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And see, know this. Jesus said, whosoever believeth in me shall never die. Never die. Remember when sweet Lazarus, when he had passed, and Jesus came, and those two beautiful ladies, Mary and Martha, come to him, and they were very sad. You know, well, Lord, if you would have come quicker, you know, he wouldn't have died. And he kept saying, well, Lazarus is sleeping. Lazarus is sleeping. And they're thinking, no, Jesus, you don't understand. Lazarus is dead. And you could just see him again, just saying, you don't get this. He is sleeping. But for your sakes, I'll understand it. Yeah, he's dead. But let me tell you this. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. Never die. I pray there isn't anything not standing up on your body right now. And it's just so awesome. So, see, we know the dead were judged out of these things which were written in these books. We know this isn't a child of God. Because a child of God can't die. Praise the Lord. Yes. Know the word and all of these wonderful encouragements that we have. So the dead are judged. The dead are judged out of these things that were written in these books according to their works. Praise God that I'm not judged according to my work. Thank you, Lord. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Notice how much it's expressing and emphasizing here. Works, works, works. Whether it's the religious ungodly or just the atheist ungodly, they have one thing in common. Works. It's all about works. What I did, what I can do. How I'm going to merit something from God through something that I can achieve, I can say, I can perform. As opposed to the one thing that is acceptable to God, and that's the precious blood of his son that flowed from Calvary. The power is in the blood. The power is in the blood. All the power of your life, all the power of every breath that you have, is in that blood. Praise God. The grace of God. That blood that flowed so freely. And death and hell, it says in 14, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, now let's go back and talk about some of these things. All unbelievers will stand before this great white throne of judgment. All unbelievers will be found guilty. Any life who stands before this great white throne of judgment will be found guilty. Because no child of God will ever stand before this great white throne of judgment. They won't. Know this. A child of God will never stand before the great white throne because there is nothing to judge of sin in that life. It's a life. Praise God. I was just rejoicing. Forever. Hallelujah. Because of his death on the cross, I'm perfected forever, sanctified with him. Thank you, Jesus. Set apart to God forever. That perfection was done by him, by the stripe we rejoiced in on Sunday. Amen. Praise God. And we know that. We rejoice in it and give him thanks for eternity. Praise God. The judgment, brothers and sisters, that a child of God is under, if you want to call it that, is the judgment seat of Christ. We are being judged right now, not for sin, but for reward. Amen. Reward. What will you receive? How much will you grow? One star differeth from another in glory. Amen. Every man in his own order with God. A rank. Praise God. Will it be a reflected glory? Beautiful. A moon. But will it be a sun glory? A star. Praise God. And I love that. That's, again, Esther. Her name is Star. Isn't that beautiful? So many little things that are never ending in the Word of God. But this is it. Remember back in Revelation chapter 1, how we began? We began at kind of the end of the church age, which I really believe we're at right now. We're about at the end of the church age, okay? And what do we see? We saw Jesus, and he was walking through the seven candlesticks. Remember that? And those seven candlesticks were the seven churches. The churches, basically, any believer, you can find yourself in one of those churches right now. And I pray to God that we're after to be in that company of the Church of Philadelphia. Those ones that will not see the tribulation, hallelujah, but will be spared from that, praise be to God. But that is the judgment seat of Christ. The Lord is walking through those candlesticks right now. And think to every one of those churches, except for Smyrna and Philadelphia, he always said, come out of that, come out of that, awaken out of that. Because there was some error in every one of those churches, from a little bit to a lot of it. And he wanted them to awake. And what was the one word he used all the time? Overcome. 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 And it's always by him. Amen. The word of the Lord. So beautiful is our Lord. So once again, remember this. Because oftentimes it's sad that Christians don't know their Bibles as well as we should. And I mean all of us. But then we say things sometimes, and we're all guilty of these things. In a quip or something of that nature, think of how you say something. Be slow to speak and quick to hear. I know God continues to work on me with that. But it's like, you know, well, they're of this faith and that faith. There's but one faith. And then when they talk about a grace saint, well, there are grace saints. Well, every saint's a grace saint. That doesn't mean they're apprehending grace. But there wasn't one child of God that was saved by anything but grace. Amen? See, to be specific in that. Because I'm going to tell you, when they're trying to say about that grace saint, and I thank God, we're all every child of God is saved by grace through faith. We know that. But many a time, the level of what that grace saint, what they're speaking of there is that they believe in eternal security. Well, praise God. But that's not a full grace saint. You know what a full grace saint is? Them that follow Paul as he followed Christ. Because that's somebody that apprehended all the grace. That's the one who apprehended what's been apprehending him, grace. Amen? And growing up in that completely and fully. And it's not to be picky and stupid. He's beautiful. We need to be exact and on the mark, praise God, in that love that he loves us with. But going on to 11:15, this is exciting. Because at this time, as we read through 11 and 15, as they stand before that great white throne, this is the end of the millennium. And it starts right there in 11 and verse 11. Did you notice it said that the earth and the heaven fled away and there was no place found for them? We're going to have a new heaven. And we're going to have a new earth. See, think about this. The Lord waits till that new heaven and new earth, till all sin, all death, the devil, all of that stuff, anything that's of a lie, all of it's going to be gone. And then the new heaven, and then the new earth. So there'll be nothing remaining even of the curse. See, this earth, even though God, when he made it, he said, oh, it's good. When the devil was cast out, the curse came on this. There's not going to be anything of a curse. The earth's going to be gone. Heaven's going to, anything that devil ever polluted in any way, shape, or form, it's gone. It's gone. I mean, just the beauty of the perfection of our Lord. Everything that will be of the Word of God. And I think of that just about our lives. He didn't recycle me. I'm not recycled. I'm new. I'm brand new. When Jesse, by the grace of God, accepted him as Savior, Jesse died. And a new life came to live. Christ lives in me. And I thank the Lord for that. So, know this now. Jesus is the judge. He has taken the throne, or given the throne, I think that's better said, from the Father. Small, great are all going to stand before him. The billions and billions of unsaved souls are going to stand before him. Billions. And the books, it says in verse 12, and specifically the book of life. And once again, this is marvelous. Our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Forever. Never to be blotted out. Remember that about Sardis back in chapter 3? There's some really goofy things those saints were doing. But he said, I will not blot your name out. You've been pretty ornery. But I love you, son. Praise God. Nothing to judge. Justified. Remember this, as it says there in 1 John. A life that doth not commit sin, neither can it sin. That's his life that lives in you. Washed completely, whiter than the snow. Every iniquity cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Praise be to God for the blood of the Lamb. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So we thank him for these things. Now, moving on. Touching on verse 13 as we go through. So all the dead and all the sinners, which are all the sinners, these dead, this is speaking of the second death. Again, a Christian, it can be referred to as a death, but we know that a Christian doesn't die, it's a sleep. They're sleeping in Christ, and we thank God for that encouragement. But all the dead, all the sinners are delivered up before that great white throne. I appreciated what Brother Hill shared with us. At the end of the road, God. And this is the end of the road right here. And it is sad because, you know, I know all of us have. We've witnessed to ones that have rejected the truth. Always makes me sad. I'm thankful to God that for the most part that hadn't happened, not because of me, but because I know the Lord appoints those to come to me that probably will receive the testimony of Jesus. But I know that there's been a couple that God has put in my life, and I'm thinking of one man right now that I just grieve for, because he's just like the ones that usually defiantly say, I'm not going to do it, because they think that they can stand before God with their own good works. They think that they can, again, work their way into heaven. I've heard the same expression said to me more than at least 100 times. If that's the way God is and doesn't think my life is good enough for him, then I don't want him and he's not fair. Oh, God forbid. Because you know what? They're going to know. And every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. And that's going to happen right before that eternal, horrid lake of fire, a death that will never end. Being separated into that darkness for eternity. It just, God forbid. Now, brothers and sisters, it's sweet to hear, as we can hear Brother Paul say, for our lives, but for the cross, everything of my life would be a filthy rag. Amen? Brother prayed, I can't do anything. Anything good is of him that's happened in my life. I thank God for this. And as Brother Paul said, that I would only be found in his righteousness, in the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that Paul said that in Philippians. He wanted to only be found in that. He didn't want to be found free of filthy thoughts or unbelief. I'm sure he did, but that's not what he said. He didn't say, I want to be found doing great and mighty good works. No, he only wanted to magnify the grace of God that was with him. And in that, he only wanted to be found in the righteousness of Jesus. All the good only because of Christ in me, Christ living in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I do. I thank God. I thank Paul. I thank God Paul didn't say, you know, that I might not be found having any bad things going on. Or I might be found not being tempted. The concern was self-righteousness. Because Paul really knew about dirty self-righteousness. And there's something about self-righteousness that so defeats, it's the deadliest defeat of a life from ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus. And I pray we really are attentive to what the Lord had me just say. Self-righteousness, I will have to say, in reading the Word of God and being encouraged in the things of the Word of God, it's the deadliest. It's the greatest defeat. I've seen it take down people that knew the whole counsel of God time and time again. And but for the grace of God, any of us would go that way too. But be aware of this. It's such a defeater. God let that evil just flee. And just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Almost done. Next week in verse 14, we're going to see, is what verse 14 talks about, we're going to see the details of what is in hell. Give you a little appetite here, a little appetizer in chapter 21, verse 8. What's going to be found there is the fearful, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire, brimstone, which is the second death. Now, if you didn't know the Lord, you'd say, oh my goodness, I'm there. Come on. But for God, you're there. But for God, I'm there. Isn't that wonderful to know? That, again, it is his life. And that we have been cleansed and forever. Hallelujah. That's why Peter, he says, oh Lord, wash me all over. And the Lord said, oh no. You got washed, son. We ain't washing that over. That blood did it. We'll go ahead and wash feet in our walk daily. That's the word, amen? But you're clean, hallelujah. Indeed, praise his name. So, this is all glorious. And again, all things of lie, sin, hell, the devil, all the unbelieving, never again to ever exist or be remembered again. What a joyful time that will be. Oh, because I'll tell you, we're ramping up to, again, the devil being unleashed like a roaring lion. We're seeing stuff that just awful. Verse 15, only the word of the Lord will endure forever. See, whatsoever was not found written, whosoever was found not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. All sin, all of that is gone. The only thing that remains is the word. And by the grace of God, because we believe in the word, we're of him. We're of the word. Praise the Lord. And thankful to God. Only the promises of God will endure forever. And that's this book of life. All those that are in that book of life are of him. Those are the sons of God. Those have but one life. We have his life, the life of Christ that lives in us. All that remains is the word of God. All that exists, praise God at this time, will be bodies that are like his glorious body. In some way, again, not all of them will be fully matured in a sense of ruling and reigning, but it's going to be all like him. Stars differ from another in glory. The vessels will have a different rank, but it will all be like him. Praise Jesus. And finally, to those that want to believe there is no hell, not only is there no hell, but there's worse. A final judgment of God, the eternal lake of fire, that second death that will never end. See, a child of God will never face that second death. That child of God will never stand being judged before that great white throne of judgment. Praise the Lord and know that. That's when you'll begin to grow up, is when you know how free you are. Praise God. And I think it's so interesting with God. All these things are eternal. It's either going to be his eternal life, that abounding life in believing, or it's going to be that eternal tormented death in rejecting. And it don't end. It's going on one way or another. The Father loves his Son. All glory is due him and to him. And those that give him the glory will be exalted with him in favor beyond imagination. But those that deny his blood, that deny his deity, will be judged in the same passion of God's judgment in the defiance of his Son forever. Amen. All right. Well, praise God. We're almost here. And I'm looking forward to that time, and I know you are too. And he's in, what a day it will be, praise God. Love to, again, know not only where I'm going, but what I'm going to see. Have a vision, praise God, to what he wants me to be. Amen. Stand and be dismissed. Hallelujah. Thank you, God.